Good morning, BAC. So good to be here with you guys, worshiping alongside with you. I just want to welcome friends and family here as well as we celebrate this special service this morning. As you guys might know already, it's our baptism service here at Burnaby Alliance Church here in the English congregation. And this morning, we have the privilege and the honor of being able to witness and celebrate the baptism of four brothers and sisters. This morning, we get to witness them. These individuals declare that they were once sinners, that Christ died for them, and that they're going to proclaim that they belong to Jesus, and they're going to profess their faith in Jesus publicly this morning in baptism before this church and before this family. And so we're just so thankful to be able to do that with them and celebrate and witness to that fact. Later on today, we're also going to be welcoming five people into the BAC family officially as they're transferring their memberships over to here at Burnaby Alliance Church. So how this is going to work this morning is that shortly we'll be going to be calling up the baptism candidates. They're going to be we're going to be hearing the stories and their journeys with Jesus. We'll get them baptized, and then Pastor David later will come up, and we're going to say a prayer over them together. We're going to invite the new members up as well, and then we're going to do a little ceremony with them. So hopefully we can get this all done before the next service and not feel too rushed. But Romans, just a little bit about baptism before we head into our testimony time. Romans 6, chapters verse 1 to 11 says this: "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." And so, what is baptism? It's baptism, what it is, it's a public declaration of what God is already doing in someone's life. The people getting baptized today have already been saved. They've already been called into salvation by the grace of Jesus Christ. They've already had their sins forgiven by the blood of Christ. They've already been adopted as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. But baptism happens because we get to say, the four candidates that are going to be up here, they get to say to the world, to their friends and family here in the church, that this is who I am in Jesus Christ now. This is what he's done for me. This is how I want to live for him. And so baptism then, it's a sign, it's a seal, it's a symbol of God's promises to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to accept us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit to renew and to cleanse us, to resurrect us into eternal life, and to adopt us into his eternal family. And this promise is made visible in the water of baptism. Water cleanses, water purifies, water refreshes, water sustains. And Jesus Christ is that living water that does all those for us. So baptism, once again, is a sign that we are both united with Christ in his death, as Romans 6 tells us, and we are raised up with him in his resurrection. We declare that Jesus saved us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy, right? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Through baptism, Christ calls us to a new obedience, to love and trust him completely, to forsake the evil of the world, to live a new and holy life, serving the church and the world for the sake of his kingdom, with Christ as our King and our Lord. And yet, when we do fall into sin, we must not despair because of God's mercy. Nor should we continue in sin, for baptism is a sign and a seal that God's eternal covenant of grace is with us. And so not only in a baptism Sunday like this do we get to witness these individuals get baptized, but for those of us who are already baptized, we get to be reminded of this, of the fact that we have been saved by the blood of Christ, that we've been raised to new life in him as well. In baptism, we declare that we belong to Jesus and we belong to Jesus forever. So let's pray. I'm going to pray. Enough of me up here. I know you guys want to hear the stories of these brothers and sisters who Jesus is doing amazing work in their lives. So let's pray together as we start. Heavenly Father, this morning we present these, your children, who have trusted Christ alone for their salvation. By grace, they have received the free gift of eternal life, and you have seated them with you in the whole heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So they are here to bear witness to their salvation through baptism. So Father, as they enter the waters today, refresh them to the reality that they have died with Christ, have been resurrected in him to new life. May our hearts also be refreshed to the reality that Christ's death and resurrection is the greatest work ever done in time or eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to call up the first baptism candidate, Amanda. Amanda Wong.
Hi. So my parents started taking me to church at a young age. I went to Sunday morning service and Sunday school. I was a shy kid, so I didn't enjoy Sunday school or any other church activities. It's safe to say that I was thankful that my parents didn't force me to go to Awana or any Friday night activities. Every Sunday morning, my parents had to holler at me to get me out of bed, and when I was at church, I would sing a few worship songs and then zone out during the sermon. It wasn't until a few years ago that I decided to take control of my own faith. I wanted to be able to set an alarm, wake up, and get myself to church. I joined a small group and the Penta sports team, and these have been some of the best decisions of my life. This brought me community and cherished friendships. After being more engaged with my faith, I began thinking about getting baptized, but I still didn't feel ready. Last year, I attended a worship service, and they sang the song Sinking Deep. I'm not going to torture you with my voice, so those that aren't familiar with the song, the chorus goes, "Your love so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I seek. You are my everything. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life." This was the first time that I heard the song, and the lyrics brought me to tears. I was overwhelmed with emotion because I felt God's presence and was reminded of his love for me. I wanted to know him all my life, and it was clear that I couldn't do this life alone. I needed Jesus. That was the moment I decided to get baptized. Since that day, I've been trying my best to be more intentional about going to church and building relationships with my church friends. And don't worry, pastors, I pay attention to your sermons now. I'm so blessed for all my friends and family who have encouraged me and challenged me in my faith, and thank you to those who have prayed with me and for me. And to end off, I would like to share a verse that encourages me when I'm going through something rough. It's a reminder that God always provides. It's 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Thank you.
My name is Diana. I was born in China and immigrated to Canada at the age of 7. Coming to Canada, my family weren't wealthy by any means, but they still provided for me to the best of their ability and gave me opportunities to be as good of a person as I could be. As a child, I was told that I can only depend on ourselves, and if we want a success, we have to work for it. And if we aren't successful, that means that we didn't work hard enough. All my life, I value my self-worth with my accomplishments and my materialistic things. And for a long time, that was great. I had a great family, loving parents, surrounded by friends and a decent job, and pretty much a carefree life. So from an outsider looking in, I was pretty happy. But don't get me wrong, I was a happy girl like most people, but like most people, I felt like there was always something missing. I was never satisfied with what I had, and I always wanted more. And never was I truly proud of anything I did. As I got older, these feelings and thoughts got worse and worse, and I started filling my emptiness in my heart with more friends and parties and more life decisions that weren't the best. As time, the first time I can say that I could feel God working my life was when my mom got sick. She was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and a couple of weeks when that started, she was bedridden, and she lost what looked like most of her all of her muscles on her legs. And it was the scariest time of my life. The doctor said that there was no cure, and the only thing they can do is suppress the symptoms with steroid supplements. And like, this sucked, but that was something we had to deal with. And then one day, a friend of mine, and that's funny how it works, because I met this guy during my partying days. He randomly asked me to hang out, and I said, sure. He said we were going to hang out with a couple of friends and at some person's house. And I, when we got there, the house was very plain, and then there was just snacks around and some chairs. And in my head, I thought this was a very lame party. But this was the first time I was actually at a Bible study. I was tricked into this, and I felt very uncomfortable. I didn't want to be there, but I didn't want to be rude and just leave. So when they did their prayer requests, they came to me, and I didn't want to say anything because I thought, I don't know these people, and why should I? Like, God can't help me with my problems. As they came around to me again, my friend said, why don't you tell them about your mom and pray for her? And then I was so angry because who is this guy to expose me like this? I don't know these people. So I told them as little as I could, and I just left it at that and kept quiet the rest of the night. A couple months later, my mom was off steroids, fully mobile and living her life like just like before. The doctor said it was a misdiagnosis, and for a long time we believed what he said, until I remembered that uncomfortable Bible study, and then I haven't talked to this guy since that night because we weren't friends anymore. And then, but I decided to text him anyways and say thanks and tell him my mom is better and please thank the people that prayed. This got the idea of Jesus flowing in my head, and I Googled him a lot. I became very fascinated with the idea of Jesus, but I wasn't able to attend church physically because I felt like I'd be judged because of how I was living my life until then. Sometime later, I started dating my now husband, Sungwoo. He's a Christian, and I felt very comfortable with him. I felt like he didn't judge me for my non-Christian lifestyle, or maybe he did, I don't know. But I can finally get the answers to my silly questions, and one of them was, I couldn't find this answer anywhere. The question was, do you become a singer, like a really good singer, instantly after accepting Jesus? And I found out the answer to that one was no, you don't. My first service was at Willingdon Church, and I was a mess of emotions. I was just bawling my eyes out. A couple of years later, I wanted to know more about Jesus, and Jancy invited us to BAC to attend Alpha. Sungwoo and I got married last year, and during our year of engagement, it was probably the hardest time of my life. God truly tested my faith in him. He revealed all my demons and my sins and everything I feared that I've done and everything that I thought I left behind because I accepted God in my life. But truly, I know that Jesus forgive us for our sins, but I was still struggling with myself. And I realized I was fighting my demons alone. So after spending time with God, I realized he didn't judge me. Instead, he supported me and gave me hope at my lowest of lows. And he heard me when I had no one to talk to. And he comforted me when I was the most alone I've ever been. Jesus helped me fight my demons and accept myself as who I am. And everything, I wasn't suppressing anything anymore. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." For a long time, I believe God won't put you in a situation that you're not able to handle. But now I know it's because of God that I can handle the situations I'm in. I don't feel like I'm on a different path in life now because I found Jesus. I feel like the same person, but I know I'll still fall and be tempted. But I'm on that path stronger because I'm now walking with Jesus in my life.
Hello, my name is Kai. Growing up, I had to learn to rely on myself and be independent. If I wanted to do anything, I had to do it myself. I had to work on myself to develop the skills I need to achieve what I wanted to accomplish. Relying on and counting on other people to help me was never really an option for me. This need to rely on myself also extended into the choices I made. When I made a decision on something, I would stubbornly stick to it and would refuse to make any changes. However, my confidence in my own supposed foresight led me to become stuck in a soul-sucking job with no room for personal development. Even when signs showed that there was no career progression, I still stubbornly held on because I felt that I knew what was best for my life. This all changed in August 2018 when I was in an ATV accident. I flipped over the ATV's handlebars and fell on my right side, breaking several ribs surrounding my right lung. The ATV then rolled on top of me and landed on my left arm and broke it. As a result of my accident, I could not lean my body forward or use either of my arms. This meant I could not get up from a chair, feed myself, or even go to the washroom. For the first time in my memory, I was totally reliant on other people for my basic daily functions. On top of that, the accident left me unemployed because I was unable to work, so I was laid off. Originally, I thought that despite how exhausting my job was, I would continue to work hard for a glowing reference for my next job for my manager. However, that idea didn't pan out either, showing how futile my own planning was. At first glance, this was an unfortunate accident. But as strange as it is to say, now I'm actually really glad the accident happened for two reasons. First, I developed a feeling of God's presence in my daily life. While I had prayed to God in the past, I never put my whole heart into prayer. I was kind of phoning it in. Yet because of complications during my healing process, I was compelled to truly commit to prayer with all my heart and soul. As I constantly prayed for my recovery, and even though my body continues to heal, my mindset transitioned from a position of bargaining to one of peace and serenity, as I felt him walk with me through my pain, throughout my recovery, and throughout my everyday. Second, I learned to trust in God's plan for me. Being a physically active person before my accident, the whole incident left me physically broken and made it impossible to hold tightly to the path I had envisioned for myself. This made me come to accept that I could not unilaterally dictate the course of my own future, and I came to accept that I need to trust in God's provision and his plan for me. This has already manifested itself in a refreshing trajectory in my life and in my career, where I feel a sense of purpose in my work, and where I feel God's blessing acting upon me through both new and reinvigorated relationships. To be honest, my own reaction to my accident has surprised me. For a very long time, I could not wrap my head around believing in God because I always thought, if he is so good, why do so many terrible things happen in this world? Yet, strangely, because of my accident, I feel strengthened in my faith through my suffering, and I felt his guiding presence in my life. And now, according to Micah 6:8, I want to commit my life to him, and I want to commit to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joey, and I've mostly been going to church since I was about 5 years old. I originally went to another church in Burnaby because my friend's mom invited us, and I always went to service. I went to Sunday school, and I went to Awana. I learned of this Jesus guy, but never really fully understood what it meant to be a Christian. And I only knew that Jesus died on the cross and saved us. But I didn't know what that meant either. When I was about 10, I stopped going to church because I didn't feel included in the church. There was only about one or two other people in my grade, and mostly the older kids were hanging out with each other. So in the summer of grade 8, my friend invited me to come to BAC to join the youth group here and go to teens camp for a weekend. I hesitated a little bit because I'm an introvert and I didn't want to meet new people. But I knew some of the guys here already from playing video games with them, so I made it a little bit easier. So I went to teens camp and it was an amazing experience. I made many friends there. Some of them are still one of my best friends. And after that, I was a bit more open to learning about God. And I started coming to Icon Fellowship, which is a youth group here for high school. And then I occasionally came to Sunday service as well if I could wake up. I continued to go to church, but always wondered why God didn't do anything in my life. It was a constant internal battle for me because I didn't see how God was curing like people's illnesses, or I didn't get in an accident and I recovered all of a sudden. I just didn't see any spectacular events that occurred to me, so I was like, who is this guy, right? Towards the end of high school, I stopped going to church again. I was struggling with personal issues such as being in a toxic relationship with my girlfriend at the time. And I was still struggling with not seeing how God was working in my life. From when I was 17 until I was 20, I felt an emptiness in my life, but I kept living on. I graduated from BCIT at 20, and I started making money. I was able to spend that money on food, video games, buying a car, but none of these things actually filled my emptiness. In January 2016, I had a tug in my heart to start talking to people from BAC again, and I think that's when everything changed for me. At the end of 2017, I was asked a question that really hit me hard, and it was, if you died tomorrow, would you go to heaven? And the classic Sunday school answer would be yes, but if I was being real with myself, the answer is no. So I started doing some research, and these verses really got to me. It's Revelation 3:15-16. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. God doesn't want someone to be lukewarm towards him. There's no such thing as a maybe Christian. And that's when I realized that I had to change. I continued to read different parts of the Bible and different commentaries for about a week, and I started to really understand God's grace and his love for us and how we should be examples for others. I finally realized that I needed Jesus to die on the cross for me so I could be saved. So on January 7th, 2018, I prayed to God to commit my life to him and ask for forgiveness for the things I've done wrong and that I want to be more like Jesus. Ever since, I've stopped trying to control my life as often. I'm trying my best to leave things into God's hands now, although it's still a work in progress. For example, 2019 was a very big year for me. I went back to school, I graduated for a second time, and I was looking for a new job. I was forcing myself to get a job before I got married in the summer, so I can help out with the finances. I applied to maybe 20 or 30 jobs that I thought I would easily get into, but no one ever got back to me. This included entry-level or junior-level roles as well. That's when I realized I was trying to take control of my life again. So after our wedding and honeymoon, I was without a job and took my time to apply. I knew this time I had to trust in God and prayed that he will provide what is best for me. Out of the 10 jobs I applied for, I had 5 interviews in over a week and 3 offers. The one job I really wanted was a job that I wasn't very qualified for. But somehow, I ended up with getting this job. To me, this was a miracle. And it was a big reminder to me that God doesn't always have to show a big, spectacular event to prove that he's there. I have to continue to trust in him and pray to him, and he will guide the way. Thank you.
Hey, can you guys hear me? All right. This is a fun part now. We're going to invite our first friend up here, Amanda. It's not bad. Come on in. It's like a hot tub, guys. If anyone hasn't been baptized, you're missing out. This is my friend Amanda. And Amanda, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions before I baptize you today. Do you believe that Jesus, as the Son of God, died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and rose to life so that you can have new life in him?
Yes.
Do you, with God's help, desire to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus as your Lord and King?
Yes.
One more question for you. Is it your desire today to be baptized?
Yes.
Hey, man, I got to ask those questions. I know it's obvious, but Amanda, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. All right. Got to invite Diana to the water. Diana, I'm going to ask you the same questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and that he rose again so that you can have new life in him?
Yes.
Diana, do you, with God's help, desire to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus as your Lord and King for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Diana, is it your desire today to be baptized?
Yes.
All right, Diana. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Kai, my man, Kai. It's my friend Kai. He's a bit bigger than I am, so I hope I don't drop him. All right, Kai, I'm going to ask you some couple questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and he rose to new life so that you can have new life in him.
Yes.
Kai, do you desire, with God's help, to take up your cross, deny yourselves, and follow Jesus as your Lord and King?
Yes.
Now, Kai, the last question is, do you desire, is it your desire today to be baptized?
Yes.
All right, Kai, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, help me out here. I didn't know we had to work out to do baptisms. Hey, come on down. Come on down. This is my friend Joey.
Joey!
Joey, I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. Joey, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and that he rose again to new life so that you can have new life in him?
Yes.
Joey, is it your desire, with God's help, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow Jesus as your Lord and King?
Yes.
And Joey, one more question. Is it your desire today to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. Now, Joey, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. I'm going to invite the worship team up now.
Yeah, what a great time we've had so far. You may be seated. What a great time we've had so far just hearing the testimonies and seeing the people get baptized. As Pastor Keith mentioned earlier, we also have the privilege of welcoming 5 new members into our church through transfer membership. In one sense, you know, you don't really actually need to join a church because, you know, once you become a Christian, you already become a member of God's kingdom, God's family. But God doesn't just want us to be positional members in the kingdom. He also wants us to be participating members in a local body. Scripture assumes that you will not only attend and serve, but that you will commit yourself to a local fellowship and submit to its spiritual oversight. God does not merely save us individually. He also unites us to fellowship where we both give and receive spiritual care. In cases of heresy or immorality, the church is called upon to discipline its members. So membership at Burnaby Alliance Church is open to baptized believers in Christ who affirm the statement of faith at our church and the Christian and Missionary Alliance and are in good standing in members at churches of like faith and who desire to commit to serving Jesus here at BAC. So this morning, I'd like to invite up our candidates. I'll call them up. So first, if I could ask Timothy and Grace Lai to come up. And then I'm going to ask Samantha Mock to come up. Samantha's the wife of Joey, who just got baptized.
Yes,
and yes, Timothy and Grace. And also Viola Tong, I'd like to ask to come up. Yeah, if you could just stay here. And finally, I'd like to ask up Sungwoo Kim. So Sungwoo is the husband of Diana, who just got baptized. So they've expressed a desire to transfer their membership to BAC. And then are those who were baptized changed yet? Well, I don't want to see. Oh, okay. If they were, I would also invite them to come up because they actually are joining through their baptism. But for those of you who are transferring your membership, as you have expressed a desire to join BAC, and let me ask you some questions based on the membership covenant that you have signed to affirm your faith to join our church. So will you support the testimony of BAC by attending and participating faithfully, by living a growing and godly life, and by giving regularly through tithes and offerings? Yes, great, thank you. Oh, they're all here. If you guys want to come up, please come up. Amanda, Diana, Joey, Kai, yeah, if you guys can come up, that'd be great. Once again, they are also, through their baptism, joining becoming members of our church. Okay. So if those of you who just came up, if you could also affirm this, the next parts of the covenant. So will you share in the responsibilities of BAC by praying for church ministries, leadership, and its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who visit? Yes, thank you. And will you protect the unity of your church by acting in love towards others, by refusing to gossip and resolving conflicts in godly fashion, and by respecting and submitting to those in leadership? And finally, will you serve the ministry of your church by discovering your gifts and talents, by being equipped for service, and by nurturing a servant heart? Thank you. So at this time, I'd like to call up the English elders of church to come and pray over them. And I'd like to invite Elder Tim to say this prayer, to pray over our new members.
God is good. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and pray. So exciting to hear some of the testimony and just to welcome so many people to our local body here. And God is good. Amen? Amen, yeah. I hope that some of you who may not know him get to experience him, and some of you who know him may get revived, you know, just based on the testimony today. So why don't we just... If you feel comfortable, just reach out to these guys and bless them as we pray. And let's just pray together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, our Lord God, you are good. You're so good to us, Lord. You reach us in times where we're lost and where we need you most. Lord, we want to thank you for the ones who are baptized today and just how you have uniquely reached out to each of them and brought them into you and challenged them to know you. Lord, we also thank you for just the people here who are willing to become members of BAC. Lord, I just pray that they will find their calling and they will find a way to express their gifts through this local body. Lord, that they can find the purpose of their lives here. And Lord, we're just so blessed to have them join our body here today. And Lord, may our BAC continue to fulfill the vision that you've given us as we work together for your glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome. So good to see you. Welcome, son. Joey.
Welcome.
You need the mic?
I don't need one.